I waved at my mom as she drove down the street. I wasn't the type who enjoyed staying away from my family so much, especially because I had not seen them for a while because of college. She had a meeting that was going to last about 4 days outside the country, and she had to be there compulsorily. I hoped that she was going to turn around, saying it was canceled or something like that, but I just knew it was almost impossible. No siblings or dad. I had the house to myself for 4 days. The thought of inviting friends crossed my mind, but there was no point to it. Most of the friends I had lived far away, and I could just as well enjoy the feeling of being alone at home. I plugged in my headphones and slept almost instantly, only to wake up 3 hours later with my stomach acting all sorts of drama for me. I walked into the kitchen to get something to eat, but most of the things in the freezer didn't interest me. I ordered from McDonald's, hoping that it was going to satisfy me somehow. "Your order will arrive in 10 minutes. The words were displayed on my phone screen, which made me glad. I could pass 10 minutes by watching a movie or chatting with people. I checked the time continuously, but it was almost like the time was against me and decided to move as slowly as possible. I jumped up as soon as I heard the doorbell go off. I dropped my phone on the bed, rushed to the door, and opened it immediately. Another guy, who looked about my age, stood with a small smile on his face and a packed nylon from McDonald's in his right hand. He pointed the nylon at me politely. "Here's your order," he said. "Thank you." I collected it from him and tipped him. I closed the door as he turned around to leave, but only to be stopped by a foot between the door and the wall. "What?" I opened the door wide to be sure I wasn't imagining things. The delivery guy stood with a wider smile on his face, the kind that was creepy and cute at the same time. "Can I help you?" I asked. "Is there something you need?" He continued staring without saying a word, the smile still on his face. He pushed the door wide, forcing me to the other side, and walked in like he owned the place. He walked around for a while before eventually turning around to face me. The only thing that bothered me so much at that point was how he was able to maintain the smile all the way. I waited patiently for his next action before deciding on what to do. I probably didn't have to stress so much. He had a smaller stature than I did, and with the number of times I showed up at the gym, I was convinced that I could easily take him down. I asked him over and over again for what he needed, but he kept smiling and walking around, running his fingers over different things in the room before coming to a halt in front of my mom's picture. I could have sworn that I saw a flash of something he was trying so hard to hide deep inside of him. But the question was it the reaction to my mom's picture? He suddenly brought out a gun from nowhere and pointed it at me with a blank face. I couldn't tell what he was thinking anymore, and I could not predict his next move. I raised my hands in surrender, the nylon in my hand flying to another corner of the room. "Where's my mom?" he yelled at my face with so much anger. It was probably the most angry I had seen someone before. I was still thinking of the right words to say when I heard the horn of my mom's car just outside the house. We stared at each other for a while before he hid the gun behind him again. How is it even possible that this person walked around with a gun casually? I sat down quietly with the guy opposite me when my mom walked in, looking frustrated and annoyed. She noticed the tense atmosphere and immediately went into mom mode. She stood far away from the two of us while dialing something on her phone. I low-key prayed it was 911. There was clearly a criminal on the loose. "Jabez?" She stared at the guy and waited for him to respond. Jabez stared at her in shock, balancing the look on my mom's face. I tried to understand whatever was going on between the two of them without asking any questions, hoping to catch some answers on my own. My mom rushed to him and hugged him in tears, shouting words of hallelujah and some other things I couldn't understand. The one thing that stood out in the midst of everything was the fact that Jabez was probably my brother, and he almost killed me. I walked away, leaving the two of them to their reunion, with so many thoughts in my mind. I picked up the McDonald's nylon that fell earlier and walked to my room, closing the door after me. My mom rushed to the door, knocking continuously for me to come out. I ignored her and plugged my headphones back in. I wasn't ready to have that conversation with her. I didn't know if it was me or my ears playing tricks on me, but I heard a loud noise, louder than the music I was playing, and it resonated throughout the house. I heard my mom crying so loud that I had no choice but to rush out. "Left me alone for 20 years, and you think forgiveness is so easy for such? Think again," Jabez said, and walked out of the house. I ran after him, hoping to catch him somehow, but he was faster than me. I managed to get a picture of the plate number. I wasn't even sure if he was really a delivery guy from McDonald's, or if he only used the opportunity to get to my mom. Luckily, he only shot her in the leg, and I dialed 911. I explained everything, and in a few minutes, they were in the house, assuring us and taking my mom straight to the hospital. I told the officers everything I knew, and the picture I took earlier with the description of Jabez. They jotted everything down and assured us that everything was going to be fine, which I believed as long as Jabez was caught. 2 days later. "Hello," the voice said on the other side of the line as soon as I picked up the call. "Good afternoon, officer," I replied, my other hand rubbing my mom's palm gently on the hospital bed. "Jabez has been arrested," the officer said. I sighed in relief and thanked the officer before hanging up the call. I turned to my mom, but she was still sleeping. "Well, three is truly a crowd, even in families," I told myself before adjusting myself into the sleeping position as well. I watched as my boyfriend moved to and fro in McDonald's, expecting the order to have been up. I couldn't be more annoyed, but I had to keep it within me because we were outdoors. I had just caught him cheating, and the next thing he thought was going to be the best option for apology was McDonald's. It was true that I loved McDonald's, but to a certain level, which clearly didn't include forgiveness for cheating. I decided to be silent and just watch as he went about his little drama. After a few minutes, he dropped a tray of fries in front of me and stared at me with puppy eyes. I stared back at him blankly, not wanting to make any conversation or keep one. I pushed the tray further from myself and towards him, which caught him by surprise, because there was one thing I couldn't reject, and it was McDonald's. "I already said I was sorry. What else can I do? I told you I didn't know how it happened, and I really can't explain. I'm sorry, Grace," he said. I waited till he was done with speaking before standing up to leave. I was scared I was going to do something that I was going to regret later, and leaving was the best option to prevent such a situation. "Sit back down." He pushed me back to the chair after getting up to stop me from leaving. I looked at him in shock at what had just happened and expected him to apologize. When he didn't, I stood up again and he repeated the same thing. I decided to still remain calm, especially with the number of eyes that were already staring at us and waiting for the next thing that was going to happen so that they could blame someone and carry our faces on the internet. My boyfriend sat back down opposite me and continued to stare at me so much that it felt like he was boring holes into my skin. I ignored him and picked up my fries eventually. I knew we couldn't stay in McDonald's forever, and I was patient until then, hoping to get away from him forever. He was still talking about things I wasn't paying attention to when a loud noise was heard outside. A woman was yelling and cursing all at the same time while the security guard was preventing her from entering the restaurant. "To hell with all of you," she screamed loud enough for everyone to hear her. I looked at my boyfriend and some other people who looked as shocked as I was and were ready to go out to check out what was happening. Some were even up already. Some of the workers had stepped out to listen to what she had to say, and while she only kept shouting, not comprehensible and struggling to enter, many people that had gone out to try and defend her came back in to pick up their things and leave. I was expecting my boyfriend to do the same, but I was shocked at how much attention he gave to the woman, and the way he looked showed that he was not ready to remove his eyes or leave this place. I tapped him, and he only ignored me and picked his phone up to record. It was at that moment that I knew he was someone I didn't know anymore, and no matter what I tried, nothing was going to change, and walking out was the best option for us, or at least it was the best option for me. The woman eventually found her way in, and with the way she acted, I knew that all she did outside was just the tip of the iceberg of what she initially planned. She threw away anything that was in her way and anyone that tried to stop her. Surprisingly, she was stronger than most of the men in the restaurant, and for a while, it motivated me about working out and gaining enough strength to beat up anyone that tried to stop me for any reason whatsoever, like what my boyfriend did earlier. "How dare you!" the woman yelled in my face. I looked around to be sure she was talking to me, and it was not someone close to me or behind me. When I realized that there was no one around me that she could have been talking to, I took a few seconds to stare at her very well to be sure I knew her, and I was not going crazy like she was. I tried to ask her for her name or something I could remember her by, and she slapped me as soon as I opened my mouth. I was in shock and actually expecting my boyfriend to somehow fight for me, but he stood where he was, recording what was happening between the woman and I. What she did was not as painful as much as the humiliation. I ignored everything and eventually tried to walk out, but the woman pulled me by the hair and pushed me to the ground. I immediately tried to regain composure, but not before I felt blood at the back of my head. "I'm sorry, but can you just tell me what I did?" I said weakly. I was expecting anybody at all to try and help me, but everyone just stared. The least I could wish for was that somebody had called 911, and if not, I was probably going to be left in my own pool of blood, maybe to die. I looked at my boyfriend one more time, and for a second, I could tell that I saw a smirk on his face that said he was happy about what was going on. I stretched my hands to him to help, for which he ignored. The woman kept pulling my hair and hitting me on various parts of my body. I couldn't fight to free myself from her because I was already weak from the first fall. I tried to apologize to her again, but it was almost of no use because she hit my mouth immediately after I opened it. I couldn't be grateful when I felt her lifting me up from the ground. I didn't know if she was the one who decided that what she did was enough or someone came to my rescue, but either way, I couldn't be happier, especially because I already said my last prayers and wished everything well for certain people. "Stay away from Raymond," the woman yelled at me as she was being dragged out of the restaurant. I knew at that time that it couldn't have been anyone other than my boyfriend that caused all that had just happened. Could I blame him? I couldn't utter a word. I loved him too much. I felt bandages around my head and knew that someone had called 911. I said a little prayer for them as I was carried out of the restaurant. I didn't bother looking at my boyfriend again, and I decided that it was going to end there. I was not a dog to be used by him, and I for sure was not going to lose myself or parts of my body for him. Jake and I were so excited about the prospect of going away for the weekend that we didn't stop to look up where it was that we were going. Only that we knew no matter where we went, as long as I wasn't pushing myself to my limits, working my ass off, and he wasn't glued to his laptop, trying to convince clients to trust him or listen to them make ludicrous requests. The weekend could not come fast enough. Time always has a way of going against one's wishes, and even though I tried distracting myself with other thoughts, I could not help but keep looking at the calendar, marking the days until our vacation. When it finally came, Jake and I packed our bags, set out in the company's car that arrived earlier that day, with one of the drivers Jake said was used to carry the executives. He greeted us, opening the door to let us step in, addressing us as sir and ma'am. The drive was long. I slept off, woke up, and cradled myself on Jake's arms when it rained and got too cold. By the time we arrived at the cottage, the rain was pouring heavy. We raced to the cottage from the car, the rain beating down hard on us like droplets of rocks. The driver hauled our luggage inside. I offered for him to wait until the rain lowered a bit before going back outside, but he declined. He stepped out of the house before I could insist, vanishing under the sound of the heavy rain. I was shivering. Jake offered to get me out of my wet clothes into something warm, and by warm, he meant his arms. I was more than eager to do both. Our sex life hadn't really been great, not since the pursuit of money took over our lives. My stomach gave protesting grumble. "We should order some McDonald's," I said as I wrapped my hand around Jake. "Not sure with the weather they'll be able to get here," Jake said before pressing his lips to mine. I insisted, and we placed our orders just before Jake hauled me off the floor and my legs wrapped around him, leading me to the bedroom.
"Oh my God! Oh my God!"
And we were already slipping into sleep when the heavy pounding of our door caused us to jerk awake. Jake stared at me, just as clueless as I was about who was knocking. Maybe it's the driver, and he forgot something, or it was the delivery man. Jake pulled his shirt on and made out of the room. I followed behind him, unable to sit idly inside when the knocking came again, harder this time. Jake tried peering through the peephole. "Who's that?" I whispered behind him. He shook his head, then turned the lock to open the door. A cold chill ran through my spine now. I pulled my clothes over my body even more, covering my exposed breasts. Jake opened the door and stepped out. He stared out, but with the storm that just ended, it was impossible to see farther than a few feet ahead. "Come back inside, Jake," I told him. But instead, Jake took another step forward, craning his head to see something. I reached out to pull him inside, and that was when I saw it too. Something, someone, was standing just outside, beyond our line of vision. I could make out the dark shape of him, near one of the trees, almost indistinguishable from it. I froze, my throat going dry almost instantly. I stood frozen, staring at the figure. Jake took another step towards the image. "Jake," I called out, but Jake didn't respond. I was torn between stepping out into the cold night with him and returning inside the safety of our cottage, although I'm not sure safety is the right word to use right now. "Hold your phone and be ready to call 911, he said without peeling his gaze from the figure still motionless behind the tree. I didn't obey. I couldn't turn my eyes away from this door right now to go back inside and retrieve my phone. I needed to see, needed to know what stood there. It happened so fast. It was like a blur of actions taking me by surprise. Jake barely stood a chance as something pierced into his right shoulder. His pain-ridden scream escaped as he clutched the arrow sticking out of his shoulder. "Jake!" I screamed, but cowered with fear to step out. Jake pushed himself from the ground. His eyes met mine as he screamed at me to run. I stared at him for a long second, my brain searching through every single cell for a solution, but paused, contemplating between racing towards Jake, where the blood was now oozing out of his shoulder, his face contorted in pain. I still remained frozen, still trying to decide if I should help my husband or to flee for my life. That decision was made for me. An arrow pierced through his head, tearing through his skull. I gasped an inaudible gasp. My hand flew to my mouth, but it seemed I was incapable of sounds, just as I was incapable of movement. My gaze turned to the figure. It was a man. The man stepped out of the light now, pulling his arrow at me. He released, and I ducked. I slammed the door close and raced for my phone upstairs. I heard the steps racing towards the door. The heavy bang on the door told me he was trying to get in. I reached the bedroom, snatched my phone from the table, and dialed 911. My hands were trembling. Fear had taken a grip of me. When the operator picked up, I explained in shaky voice that there was a man out here to kill me. The cottage was a VIP cottage. The local police were contacted instantly. They would be here soon, 5 minutes tops. I just had to survive till then. I rushed to the room door, turned the lock. I searched everywhere for something to shield me inside. Then I was double-guessing myself again. What if he came from another direction and I had to run? A heavy thud escaped from the living room. He was inside. I could hear boot sounds in the howling night. The wind was screaming behind me. Everything seemed to be watching with bated breath. My options had been limited to two. Stay here and see who gets in first. The police or him. I reminded myself that the police were 5 minutes away and could not get here on time. His boots were closer now. If he was inside, then maybe I could escape. I reached for the window. Trying my best to be quiet, I climbed off it. The fall to the ground was far. I wouldn't do it on a normal day, but this was not a normal day. My life was on the line. I heard the handle of the door turn, followed by a push. The door didn't budge. I let myself loose and collapsed to the ground with a thud. Picking up again, I darted into the woods, sticking close to the road. I raced as fast as my legs could carry me, running by the edge of the road, my heart almost out of my throat, pumping hard. I heard a car. I raced out onto the road, raising my hands up. The car halted, and a man stepped out.
"Are you okay?" he asked.
I pointed to the cottage. "There's the man, I..." Something flew past me, piercing the man straight in the face. He fell to the ground without a sound. I jerked to the ground behind the car. Bullets flew in all directions. Another arrow whizzed its way into the car, piercing through the glass. Everything stopped. Cautiously, I stood up. The police were standing over the man's body, his McDonald's uniform still on. I pressed my hand against my mouth, feeling the nausea rushing towards me with a stinging wave. Minutes passed. Walkie-talkies were used to communicate, and a few more minutes, an ambulance arrived. Jake's body was hauled into the same ambulance with the man, while I sat at the back of the cop car, following to the hospital.
It all started at the beginning of June. I just finished high school, but as it turned out, I was not that academically gifted. When it came to schoolwork, I would much rather hang out with my friends than focus on the homework. And the result of this was I wouldn't have a chance to go to college. But I didn't want to go anyway. I just wanted to work and make my own money. During that time, I found several places around town that would hire someone who had just finished high school. But I wasn't keen on working at a fast food restaurant or inflating tires at the local tire shop. It wasn't that I didn't like to work, but the pay was lousy. In my mind, I needed to make some serious cash. I asked around for job opportunities that paid well over a minimum wage. Unfortunately, no one had a lead. So, I just had to take the first job I found, which was one at McDonald's. I'm not saying that working there was bad or anything, but I just had a different vision in my mind. Anyway, I went in, talked to the manager, and before I knew it, I got a uniform and was expected to work the next morning. "Oh, God, I hate myself," I said while looking in the mirror early in the morning. I was all dressed up in that stupid uniform, wearing that stupid hat. But that's what I had to do. I had no choice. In about half an hour, there I was. I walked inside and went into the back to meet with the manager. "Good morning," she said while sipping on her black coffee, giving me a smile that made me contemplate my life. "Morning," I responded with a tired look on my face. The next thing I knew, she grabbed my hand. I didn't know what was going on, but she started showing me around the place. Then she explained my duties. I was in the back. I had to make the fries. "Glamorous," I said while inhaling the delicious smell of fried goodness. I had a coffee before we opened, and bam, I was working. The first customer came in, and shortly thereafter, a whole bunch of them arrived. "What's up with that guy?" I asked one of my colleagues while I was taking out the fries. "Oh, him? He walks in here every day and begs for food, but we all know he just throws it away. He wants money to get drunk," Maria told me. As I was working, the guy came into the McDonald's. He was wearing old, torn clothes, he had long, greasy hair, and a very bushy beard. "Give me some fries," I heard. I didn't want to look at him. "Give me some fries, kid," he yelled. I turned my head to the right, and he was staring right at me. I got back to what I was doing, and fortunately, security came and escorted him outside. He then walked away and didn't come back for the rest of the day. Everyone seemed to know him, and they weren't bothered by him that much. But in that second, when I turned my head and looked into his eyes, I saw something strange. It was like he had something personal towards me. He had the same look my bullies used to have back in middle school. Anyway, as the day went on, nothing interesting happened. I just had my head so deep in those fries that I almost forgot to go home on closing time. "See you tomorrow, rookie," my manager told me while I walked out the door with the same smile she had that morning. "Yeah, see you," I responded. But all I wanted to do was to get out of there. I was so tired, and my feet hurt from standing all day. As soon as I got home, I took a shower and went straight to bed. The next morning, as I arrived at work, the same smile greeted me. "I guess I'll have to get used to this," I said to myself while I smiled back at the manager. A couple of hours later, the same guy came in. Again, he demanded fries and he kept his eyes on me. "Come on, sir, you have to leave the store," my manager said. But he did something that no one thought would be possible. pushed the manager, making her fall on the floor right there in front of everyone. Security quickly came and dragged the man outside. While he was being forced towards the exit, he continued to say, "I'll get you, kid! I want my fries! You're gonna pay!" with an evil look on his face. It gave me the creeps, and I told this to my colleague. She said she'd never seen him do something like this. He wasn't violent. All that he would normally do was come inside and ask for food, then leave without the security being involved. "I guess he has something personal towards you," she told me while laughing and patting me on the back. But I didn't laugh. I was freaked out. The rest of my shift ended without any interruptions. But as soon as I got outside in the parking lot, I felt eyes on me. I looked left and right, but there wasn't anyone there. It was weirdly quiet. I hopped on the bus and went home. For the entirety of the bus ride, I smelled something awful. I didn't know where it came from, but someone in that bus didn't shower for quite a while. Before I knew it, I was at my front door. While I was searching for my keys, I felt a hand grabbing me from behind. I got pulled back and fell on my stairs, hitting my head on the pavement. "Now I got you!" I heard while still trying to get myself back together after the fall. I opened my eyes, and there he was. The homeless guy who had his foot on my chest, making it difficult for me to breathe. "Get off!" I yelled, but he continued to stare into my eyes with that evil look. I managed to get his foot away and tried to escape, but he caught up and tackled me. He started raining punches, and I was trying so hard to protect myself, but I wasn't a fighter. My vision started to get blurry, and a loud ringing started to impair my hearing. I guess I was getting beaten up pretty badly. "Hey!" I heard. It was a neighbor of mine. He saw the entire scene and came to help. "Get off of him!" he yelled. The homeless guy got up and took out a knife. Then, without saying anything, he attacked my neighbor. Everything happened so fast. By the time I got up, the two men were laying on the grass. "Are you okay?" I asked my neighbor while going to check on him. He said he was fine, but a blood stain confirmed otherwise. I called an ambulance, and they quickly took him to the hospital, where he made a quick recovery. By the time the ambulance and police got there, the homeless guy was gone. He, too, left some bloodstains on the grass, but there wasn't any sign of him. He didn't come to the McDonald's after that incident. I haven't seen him ever since. I just hope that even if he's still alive, he stays away from me.